What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Three in the Key podcast. Myself, Ryan, call me Rai Chai, it's what the friends call me, sitting across from, or sitting next to, the one and only MD in the beautiful home of Mr. CJ PJ. Shout out to that man, currently on his way back from Hawaii, doing a little house sitting. But MD, it's good to be sitting next to you, my friend. How you doing?
Good. Enjoying this happy Martin Luther King Day.
That's right.
Enjoying this Martin Luther King Day off, smelling the beautiful air, even though it's kind of cold today, but just enjoying time to rest, play some video games, talk Lakers, and of course, watch the Lakers beat down on the Celtics tonight.
I can't wait for that game, man. It's always a good day when you wake up and a couple hours later, the NBA games start. Like the first of 14 games starts at 11 a.m. That's just a great day.
I'm so happy we live on the West Coast. Otherwise, like, I could not imagine growing up and having to stay up to like midnight or two watching all of those games. Like, we get to watch basketball or even football on Sundays at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Those late games start at like 8, 9, and then to stay up till midnight to watch them, or when those games go overtime, like those college games, all that craziness. Oh, I could not do that.
So true, so true. So we are hashtag blessed here on the West Coast, for sure.
West Coast, the best coast, right?
So MLK Day, as MD mentioned. So hope you guys are celebrating and enjoying the day off if you got the day off of work. We got a little bit of John Morant going on in the background here. We're watching him go off against the Pelicans right now. So that's pretty cool. But MD, the Lakers, they went 2-1 this past week. They won a big game against the Rockets, 124-115, but the game prior to that, in a shocker, they dropped to the Orlando Magic, a 1-point game, and it was the first loss against a sub-500 team.
It was time. I'm just going to chalk it up to it was time. Every great team has those. I mean, it was us for a while. We were that sub-500 team, and when we would go crazy when we would beat Golden State. Do you remember that?
We beat the Golden State Warriors a few times often, when we sucked.
It was definitely our like Disneyland or our finals victory, you know, beating the Warriors during the regular season. And I mean, it happens. Let Orlando take that, let them get excited. I mean, I love Aaron Gordon. I think he's underrated and he's in a terrible system. So I would love to see him. I definitely see him like an Iggy, or, you know, a potential of an Iggy, or like this defensive stopper with amazing talent. He just needs to get out of Orlando. I've been to Orlando. Disney World's amazing. But other than that, like, it's kind of a sad city.
Yeah, it's not a basketball town.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
The city or the state of Florida is known for football.
Right.
That's
for sure.
That's their pride and joy right there. And in basketball, if they have any success, it's secondary to that. Even if the Orlando Magic were an above 500 team and making it a playoff run, like, they're not going to be getting that much buzz, that much attention. So it's unfortunate because, you know, the Orlando Magic have been playing decent. Markelle Fultz has been on the rise. And I think that was my biggest takeaway from this game against the Magic was, it's really cool to see Markelle Fultz starting to succeed and find his rhythm again in the league after having just a terrible start to his career. And some of that was obviously, or a lot of that was due to injury and just figuring out his mechanics, but it was just really, really weird for a long time to see the former number one pick struggling as much as he did. But he had a triple double in this game. He bodied LeBron on one play on a fast break.
He kind of shoved
LeBron off and then finished the layup on a fast break. So that was really, really cool. Shouts to Markelle Fultz. But yeah, unfortunately, the Lakers did lose this game. And like you said, it was time. It happens. You're not going to win every single game against sub 500 teams. I don't know if a team's ever done that. We'd have to really look into that, but it happens. These games happen. And plus we didn't have AD in this game.
Right. I'm pretty sure even the 73-9 Warriors lost to us that year. We were one of the 9 losses. So if it happens to a team that breaks the NBA record for having the best record all time, like, we can't, you know, we can only ask for so much. You're probably gonna go look that up now.
Oh, about a team not ever losing.
I'm pretty sure it's the Lakers. Lakers beat the Warriors that year. But still, I mean, it happens. But my biggest takeaway, other than Markel finally being backed into the NBA, Quinn Cook. I've been griping forever that Frank needs to get Quinn Cook some time. And look what happens when Frank gets some time. He balls out.
He gets
you
miss.
Points. He gets you buckets. He's in the NBA for this reason, to shoot three-pointers and to make threes and make good decisions for the most part. And I believe he does that. Finally, they let him play, and he was the leading scorer on the Orlando game. He played a little bit yesterday, like 5 minutes, probably some trash time, but he still had buckets, still got buckets. He needs to get more time. This is my biggest gripe. Like, why are you playing Troy Daniels? He decided to take a contested three. I just showed Rye the video of taking a contested three when the GOAT, Caruso, was running down the court. You do not do that when the GOAT is running down the court. You toss him the lob. I don't know if it's because he's salty, because he's not part of the headband gang. but Troy, bad choice, my friend. You are not getting that much. I'm sure you're not going to get as much playing time moving forward. Like, those mistakes, small mistakes, are what gets you out of the rotation when there's barely any minutes left.
For sure. And Troy Daniels isn't one to usually make, like, huge errors like that. He usually kind of just sticks to his role. He knows what needs to be done and makes the right decision more often than not. But on that play, I literally just saw that play today when you showed it to me.
Right.
Because I started tuning into the Rockets game a little bit late the night that they played. But when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I nearly shed a tear. I was like, Caruso was, it wasn't just like, oh, he was open for a split second. No, it was a 2-on-1 fast break where the Rockets defender closed out, committed to Troy Daniels, therefore leaving Alex Caruso wide open, and Daniels still decided to shoot a three. And that just hurts. That just hurts. But to your point earlier, Quinn Cook has been balling, and we've talked about it a couple of times on the pod where we're kind of wondering, why isn't Quinn Cook getting more playing time? I don't think anyone's expecting him to be averaging over 20 minutes a game every single game.
Right.
But for him to only be getting like 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, like it's been a lot of the season, is kind of baffling. But he came up big against Orlando. He had a 22-point game and he balled out. And the game before that, I think he had 20 minutes as well, but then went back down to like 5 minutes against the Rockets. But when I was watching the game, like it seems like he couldn't really miss. He had mid-range shot going, his three was falling. So I think Frank needs to be playing him more, because it just helps to have shooters on the floor. That's where you see LeBron succeed at the highest potentials, when he's surrounded around shooters, and Quinn Cook is a shooter.
That second unit, I feel like, definitely needs help shooting. Thankfully, KCP has become an amazing shooter as of late, but Danny Green is still icy hot, like hit or miss. So when he's not playing well, I definitely say put in Quinn Cook, have him shoot, you know, take a few minutes and take those corner threes instead. Like we said, last week, the Lakers have slowly and sneakily moved their way up to top 10 in three-point percentage in the NBA now. But if we want to really be able to compete with the best and put any questions to rest of whether we can win an NBA championship this year, we need to be top five. Easy. We need to be top five, top eight, not just sneaking up to the top 10. We need to be dead-eye. Other teams need to know that they can't just double-team AD and LeBron all day, you know? So our second unit needs to step up. KCP's been stepping up. Caruso's been stepping up. Dwight and JaVale do their job. Kuzma's hit or miss. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. What is going to be nice, and this will transition us into our first key, is the Lakers are going to be getting a huge boost back into the lineup with the return of Anthony Davis.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And it's crazy because, no lie, when I was watching the Rockets game, somehow, some way, I forgot that Anthony Davis was a Laker. Like, because the Lakers were playing really well. Like, they controlled that game pretty much from the second half on.
Guard play on that defense really pushed the pace. And I definitely, like, even when they're up, I wasn't like it was one of those games where you felt like we're still in control,
yeah,
even though the other team is winning.
Yeah. And so I just, like, I was thinking to myself, like, you know, they're playing really well. And then I saw Anthony Davis on the bench. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, we don't even have Anthony Davis right now. And we're still putting the work in on the Houston Rockets. So it was a really, really good feeling just to know that we're good without Anthony Davis, because obviously LeBron's on the floor. But we're getting a huge piece back in Anthony Davis returning back to the lineup just in time for the big game tonight against the Celtics. So it's going to be amazing to have him back. His gluteus maximus contusion is finally healed, and the world is a better place now because his gluteus maximus is better.
Agreed.
So with AD returning, I'm curious your thoughts on what's going to change for the Lakers going forward, if really anything. Obviously, he helps us offensively and defensively, but do you think that the Lakers' style of play is going to change, because they've been playing well? They dropped that one against Orlando, but do you think that with Kuz playing pretty well the past few games, that's going to start to take a back seat now that AD is back? Or do you think that Kuz is going to be able to continue it, or is there something else that you're foreseeing with the return of AD?
I definitely will foresee a change in system. The system's going to change for sure. I always look back at when AD and LeBron were out and we had that win, I forget against the team, but they were interviewing Kuzma and they're interviewing Rondo. AD was interviewing Rondo. You remember that clip?
Yeah, that was really cool.
He's like, how'd you get the win? You had a great game. Rondo was like, well, AD, you were out and LeBron's out, so there's 75 shots to spread around to give to other guys. Kuz was playing though, so there's 35 minus 35 from that. So I still had like 40 more shots to pass around. And so we can definitely expect to see that change. Thankfully, LeBron has been so efficient his entire career and is a pass-first player that he can interwove seamlessly into the system and take and pick in his shots when he wants. With AD, I feel like it's a little different, especially with what we're trying to play him as. And he's going to eat up shots. He's going to eat up, I say, maybe 18 to 20 shots per game. So I'm curious whose shots he's going to eat up. Honestly, it'll probably be Kuz's. It'll probably be the second unit. So any kind of rhythm or anything they had, might go away. I'm hoping, though, on the offensive end, Frank and the coaching staff can figure out a way to integrate AD where he can get in without having to take those 20 shots and still get his 20 points. So how can they increase his efficiency on the offensive end where he maybe is taking 15 to 18 shots and still gets 20 to 25 points, unless obviously he has a mismatch. I'm talking about averages, not when it's like a mismatch and he needs to go to work. Because I love seeing those other guys succeed. Don't you? Like, I feel this Laker team becomes so much better when the second unit and those role players are so much more involved.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we talked about previously when have the Lakers peaked, because that form of the Lakers did when it was so reliant on LBJ and AD to get the buckets. So now if we can figure a way out to really integrate that role players and the second units and Danny Green and Avery Bradley to give them more touches on the offensive end and not just say Danny Green's a 3-point shooter only. We're only going to set up 3-point shots when LBJ or AD gets double teamed on the block. And Avery Bradley will give him that little hook play, you know, where he comes up to the top of the key and then just takes his little two mini jumper, his Rip Hamilton shot, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we need to get out of that and run a more flowing offense. And then trust our defense. And we're seeing the more flowing offense with this new team, with this squad right now that's going on.
Yeah.
Because they have to run and gun. They have to move. Like, we don't have AD in the middle to kind of twin tower effect.
Right.
But we'll see. We'll see what the coaching staff does. Both ways win us games. But I'm saying I feel like the way the ball moves and when it flows is a much better way to win. And it's proven before. To me, it's more similar to Spurs and Golden State basketball. And that's beautiful basketball to me.
Yeah, and it's honestly just more satisfying as a fan, too, to watch a Lakers team succeed when the other bench players are contributing and actually getting points, getting buckets. Like when you see like a Quinn Cook go off, like we mentioned earlier, yeah. like it's just, it's more rewarding because you know, more often than not, you can depend on effectiveness from LeBron and AD. Like that was never really a question coming into this season, but the question mark a lot of the times are the other guys. Like, are they going to be able to consistently contribute? So when you have these games against like Quinn Cook against the Magic, it's like, okay, cool. Like there are guys on our team that are capable of having big games, that are capable of stepping up. Or even like Kuzma, like he's been playing recently. He had like that 36 point game against OKC and then the right. 23 point game recently against the Rockets. It's like, okay, cool. It's not just AD. It's not just the AD and LeBron show. We are a collective unit. Like yeah, we're a team. And it's just cool to see that happen. So I do hope that that continues. I am reluctant to buy into Kuzma being willing, not willing, but being able to remain efficient when he goes back to being a bench player.
Same. The rhythm's gone. That rhythm will completely change. Yeah.
It's really, really tough. And even for someone who, like, I just played high school ball, and I just know that it's difficult when you're coming off the bench to get into a rhythm. It takes time. Whereas as a starter, you're getting run in from the get-go, and you get into that rhythm earlier than someone who's coming off of the bench.
For sure. And the amount of time you play consecutively as a bench and a starter is so different. Mm-hmm. Starters get to play 7 to 10 minute stretches straight. Bench, you come in, you play like the last 2, 3, 4 minutes maybe, then halftime, and then you start the next 4, 5, maybe 6 minutes, and then you're out. Like, it's not even a consistent 10 minutes. So it very much is hard to get into a rhythm. And we understand that with the second unit. We talked about it previously. But question for you. I know we just talked about this. With Kuz playing so well, do we keep him or do we trade him?
I have flip-flopped like a pair of rainbows. And I believe that we need to keep Kuzma. And here's my argument for it. I think that Kyle Kuzma, we know he is an effective starter in this league and on this team specifically.
Right.
Like it's night and day when he starts compared to when he's coming off the bench. He has difficulty coming off the bench. The Lakers are going to make a deep playoff run. And the Lakers, their lineup that has the greatest potential is going to be with AD at the five.
I agree.
Insert Kyle Kuzma.
Even though he doesn't want to play the five.
No, he doesn't want to.
The best lineup will be with him at the five.
Right. He doesn't, and I don't think he doesn't like ever want to. I think he will play the five in the playoffs. Like,
he just doesn't want to start as the five. And yeah,
he doesn't want to go through the regular season playing the five. Like, it's tiring. Like, banging with like these guys all season long. And when the Lakers do get in the playoffs, maybe in like starting in the second round or maybe even the conference finals when they go up against the Clippers, AD's going to slide to the five. Like, I think it's just a matter of time. And Kyle Kuzma is going to have the opportunity to start. And I think we're going to have Kyle Kuzma perform really, really well in the playoffs if we keep him because of that. So in my opinion, we're going to have to put up with icy hot Kyle Kuzma.
Right.
But that's fine because come the playoffs, I think he's going to be very, very effective because when it matters in these big series, he's going to be starting, in my opinion, and he's going to do really well because he fits the mold of that role a lot better than a bench player. So that's my reasoning behind why we should hold on to him.
That is actually an amazing lineup, like a LeBron, Avery Bradley, Danny Green, Kyle Kuzma, AD lineup, starting lineup. Dang, that watch out league. I would love to see that. I mean, the first unit will take all the shots of our entire team, but it'll still be amazing. It'll be awesome to watch. I'm still on the bandwagon of if there's a trade for Kuz, take it. Mm-hmm. To me, it's not the offense I feel we need. To me, it's the defense. To me, like, okay, I definitely think we can beat most teams in the leagues, but there are definitely teams that match up against us really well. And that's all it takes, those 1-2 teams to match up against us really well and knock us out of the playoffs. And to me, that right now, that's the Clippers. And I know I listened to a ton of podcasts this weekend. Everyone's like, oh, we're better than Clippers. It's like, okay, yeah, you can say that all we want, but every time we thought we were, we lost to them.
We're 0-2 right now, and right. It sucks.
Right, and they were close games, and they were good games, but we still lost. We couldn't get it done. There was no answer for Kawhi. And same thing with the Bucks. There was no answer for Giannis. Mm-hmm. We couldn't even slow them down. To me, it's not even about maybe answering them, but it's about slowing them down or making it a little bit more difficult, or even if they get their buckets, at least shutting the rest of the team down. And we couldn't do that for either squad. So my worry, that's why I want a kind of another defensive stopper, someone to come in like an Iggy, like, you know, one of the Josh Richardson or Robert Covington, these guys that are known to pester them and really step up and can still shoot and be counted on to make some points, like 10, 15 points if need be, you know, with open threes or easy layups or nice cuts. But we'll see. Kuzma obviously still definitely has more potential, more valuable than a Covington or Josh Richardson or any of those players. But sure. I don't know if that lineup will get us a championship against those teams. I want to believe it will, but I don't know. Because we haven't seen them yet. And I'm curious if Frank will ever play that lineup, because that would be a death squad in and of itself.
Yeah, it would be. And I think he will experiment with it in the playoffs for sure. Just frankly, we're better with AD at the five. Like, there's no question about it.
Then whose minutes does he eat up? JaVale's or Dwight's?
Probably JaVale's.
Yeah, we're both on the Dwight JaVale's wagon. Dude, course. Dwight is 3-for-3 from threes. This man, get him start taking those open threes, you know, little corner threes, just walking down slowly, pop him.
Invite him out to Chicago for the All-Star game, man. Yeah. Get him in that three-point shooting contest in addition to the slam dunk contest. Heck yeah.
Dwight is smart. He's riding high on all this hype right now, and it's definitely helping with his rebrand and helping him become an All-Star potentially again.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this too on the way here. I don't think he saves with the Lakers again. I want him to, but someone's going to pay him because he's finally put aside his ego, and he deserves it, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And he might be an All-Star. Like, if he goes back to the East on a solid squad, he can become, like, if he goes back to the East and goes to the Bucks, oh man, you know what I mean? He'll be an All-Star for sure.
Did we sign him on a 1 year?
It was a non-guaranteed one year, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be weird if...
Because we're going to have Boogie, right? Think about that.
Yes.
So then who does
forget
Boogie,
about that.
Mm-hmm. Who's Boogie go to? JaVale is a multi-year deal or just 1 year? I think it's 1 year as well.
I think he's a 1 year. I have to look
but
that
it's
up.
Like, I don't know. Like, to me, after the season, there will be a market more for Dwight than there will be for JaVale.
I think so, too.
Unfortunately, because I would love to keep Dwight and insert Boogie next to AD. Oh, man. That three bigs like that.
Yeah, if
that's a created team on NBA 2K.
Mm-hmm. I hope he stays in LA. It would be really weird if the Lakers don't try and keep him, just because he really is the heart and soul of this team right now.
I believe that, hands down.
And he's a fan favorite, of course. He's won the hearts of the LA fan base back from his previous stint. So if the Lakers were to not even try and retain him, if they just let him walk without even giving him an offer, then the Laker fan base would be really, really upset, myself included. So I think they're going to be in a difficult spot where they have to either attempt to pay Dwight after this season, maybe more than what they would want to, or just let him walk, which it's going to be tough either way. So, but I hope he stays. I really
Same.
Do.
If he's willing to do another like 2 year, $24 million, something like that, I'd pay him. I'd take away JaVale's money easily and give that to Dwight.
We shall see.
You know who I also heard trades about, speaking of trades, mm-hmm. since we're talking about trades, would you do a Kuzma for a Booker? I saw that, interestingly, and it matches up pretty well.
Okay, I've heard about this and I thought it was the dumbest thing, because heck yeah, why?
Yeah, of course.
Yes,
I don't think duh. Phoenix ever would,
but how could that even be possible?
Yeah,
like, okay, Kuzma for Booker straight up is no way in hell would Phoenix allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And two, their contracts are so different. Yeah. Like, Booker is getting paid like
bank
5 times. I don't even know what it is, but he's getting paid way more than Kuzma.
Right.
So if we could make it work contracts wise and Phoenix would be on board with it, heck yeah, do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Take whoever you want, but
yeah, seriously.
But I don't even, is that really possible? Like, I honestly didn't even look into it that much. I saw that like as a headline and I was like, okay, yeah, duh.
I think we'd have to give like Danny Green, like all those like kind of inflated contracts we gave to KCP and Danny Green. Like we'd have to include those two along with Kuz. But I mean, Booker is more than enough offensively to handle. Like, I'm just thinking about him and LBJ. Oh my goodness. And then him and AD. Pick and pop, in and out, like inside, outside. Done. We don't need defense. We just need to literally shoot more shots and we'll win, beat the other team.
Yeah. You're talking about a player who scored 70 points in a game.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the best scorers in this
NBA.
League.
Yeah, in the NBA.
Easily.
And he's not bigger. He's not faster. He's athletic. He can still dunk. He's solid. You know, he's an NBA player. But it's because of his shooting. His shooting and his smarts, like he picks his spots perfectly. Yes, please.
Yeah. I don't think it'll happen. Actually, I know it's not going to happen. I think that's more just kind of clickbait and that's just like fantasy basketball type of hype, you know?
Right.
But it'd be cool. It's cool to imagine Devin Booker in the corner with LeBron driving off of a pick and roll, AD trailing. Like, okay, that's just crazy, man. That's crazy. So
speaking of like players in that generation, I just wanted to do a quick shout out to B.I., who's been playing so well. We were talking about him earlier. B.I., we love you. We are so thankful for your success. I am definitely like this, all that Laker young cast. You're definitely seeing a change in Laker fans where they used to kind of like hate on them. But now we love all of them. We love Julius Randle. We love B.I. We love Zoe. You know, all of them are putting in work. Josh Hart, Mo Wagner. You're all putting in work. You're all NBA starters. You all have the talent. And they're all doing so well.
Yeah, very true.
44 points? 41 points? Two, 3 days ago? B.I., did you see that?
49.
40. Oh, man.
He went to the line with 48 and went 1-for-2.
He could have had
the 50 piece.
No, man.
Hey, real quick, a little bit of breaking news here. The Lakers and Sixers are reportedly both interested in Derrick Rose.
Oh, my goodness. So, yes. I know. I heard about this
a
long time ago.
Okay.
Because when we played Detroit, the hype was because Derrick Rose, he plays really well, but he's on a minute restriction because of his injuries, which makes sense. He can only play like 20, max 30 minutes a game, and that's perfect for coming off the bench and being that secondary scorer we need. But who do you give up for Derrick Rose? And also, to me, Derrick Rose eats up KCP shots, eats up Kuzma shots. Those two shots are already getting eaten up by AD coming back. Eats up Danny Green shots, who's already like icy hot. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think, to answer the Kuzma question, I think Kuzma would be involved in a trade like this.
I think so, he'd
be going back to Detroit. So, in this scenario, like, who cares if, you know, Rose is getting shots that Kuzma would normally take because Kuz isn't going to be there.
But it'd be interesting. But do you take Kuzma over Derrick Rose?
Oh, man. That's okay. For me, it's really tough. I am a huge Derrick Rose fan. He's like my second favorite player when Kobe was playing.
Yeah.
And now that Kobe's retired, it was Rose, who non-Lakers, D. Rose and Damian Lillard are both like two of my favorite players to watch. Like I love watching them. To answer your question, would I take Rose over Kuz right now? Yes.
Really?
I would.
Wow.
Then I was about to say no, but what kind of pushed me towards, what made me say yes, is the Lakers are in desperate need of a point guard. As someone who can have substantial minutes at the point guard position, I think that's one of our most glaring needs. And to give up Kuz would hurt because he's capable of a lot. But with D. Rose, you're getting a sure thing. Right. And he's
been balling out this year.
He has. He's very, very steady. You know what you're getting with him. He's bouncing back from, you know, the injuries that he went through several years ago, and he's just been consistent for a couple years now. So I would take him, and I think he would be an awesome addition to this team. But like we talked about in the last pod before that, you are giving up a little bit of your future or a lot of your future to win now, to capitalize on this title window. And in order for that to happen, you have to say yes to some potential trade deals that hurt, because you're saying, okay, Kuzma, like, we know that you could be a good piece for the next 5 years, but we need to win right now. And by getting someone like a D Rose, that raises our ceiling just enough to where it justifies it.
Right.
And I would be okay with it, but I don't think it's like an easy decision to make either, for sure.
So just to read off some Derrick Rose stats real quick. So far, he's played 37 games this season, started 3 of them. He's averaging only 25.8 to 26 minutes a game. Not bad. Shooting 15 shots a game, making 7.5, shooting 50% from field goal percentage. Wow. 31% from 3. He gets about 2-3 free throws a game. 2.4 rebounds and 6 assists, averaging at turnovers 2.6, but 18.3 points a game on 25 minutes. That's efficient.
Yeah, he's solid.
Shooting 50%. I'll take it. But he's not a three-point shooter.
No.
So do you think that forces kind of them to kind of crash on us now? And then we just kind of – because so Kuz, one of the best things that I love about Kuz is he is a corner three specialist, I feel. We can always count on him to hit those corner threes.
That's a good point. That'd be hard. It'd be hard to give it up. And I'm realizing now that I contradicted myself from earlier in the episode where I said keep Kuz. I changed my mind. But to be honest, like, if it was any other player, because like I mentioned earlier, I just really like D Rose. Like, it would just be so awesome to have him.
He has such a great story.
He does. He does. I have a soft spot for him.
I rooted for him when he was going against LBJ in Cleveland. Like, he was the guy. That team, him, Joakim, Tyrus Thomas, Taj Gibson, Luol Deng, that was the squad. Kirk Heinrich, that was the squad, man. Rooted for them big time.
Yeah. Be really, really cool. I'm torn, man. I don't know. Like, we'd be giving up shooting, absolutely, especially from three.
But you'd gain someone who's more consistent and probably a lot better efficient. Like, way more efficient. Yeah. 50%?
It's a big need for this team right now at the point guard position. So I don't know. You could ask me 5 minutes from now, my opinion will change again. But D Rose, it just gets me excited. I love the guy. So what can I say? All right. With that, let's go ahead and transition into our final segment of the day. Little MLK Day special. Going to have a special interview with the football specialist. So stay tuned and we'll be right back. All right, Miles. So on this glorious MLK Day, we're having a little bit of a special here. We want to kind of bring in some football insight. We're in the middle of the NFL playoffs, Super Bowl's right around the corner. So we have with us today Mr. Ryan Dyrud from the LA Football Network, the Believe in LA Football Network. Did I get that correct or did I butcher that, Ryan?
No, that's perfect. Yeah, the LA Football Network or the Believe in LA Football podcast. So either way works.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking time out of your day. I know you're probably super busy right now covering all the madness that's been going on with the NFL playoffs and all the craziness behind that. I guess kind of the first question I have for you is, how has this season of NFL football and these NFL playoffs been playing out? Has it been what you expected? Has it been crazier than expected? Or is it following a narrative that you imagined?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on your show, the Three in the Key podcast. An honor to be a guest with you guys. But no, to answer your question, I think it's been a crazy season. I mean, that's what people love about the NFL and football in general is there seems to be, and this is not a knock on other leagues, but it seems to be a lot of parity every single year, minus perhaps the Patriots. You have different teams from different divisions, different conferences always representing, and this year was no different than that. You know, if I'm just talking to myself, my preseason prediction going in to the season was actually a Vikings and Chiefs Super Bowl. And the Chiefs obviously made it. Vikings didn't make it quite as far. But if you would have told me last September, last August, that a potential Niners-Titans Super Bowl was an actual possibility 1 week before the big game, I would have thought you were crazy, considering what the Titans were last year and what the Niners were last year, picking in the top five. And here we are with them representing the NFC, and then obviously the Titans losing in the AFC Championship. But yeah, it's been a crazy year. And then you have the LA teams, the ones that I cover, who were both powerhouses last season, obviously the Rams in the Super Bowl. And then this year, the Rams fall flat a little bit and finish the year 9-7, miss the playoffs, and the Chargers completely fall apart and finish under 500. And now their quarterback's probably either going to retire or play for different teams. So a lot of crazy narratives, crazy storylines, and definitely not a predictable one by any means.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, we're LA guys as well. So we're more casual fans, but I know Miles sitting next to me here, he's more of a Chargers fan, and I root more Rams. So it's kind of cool that we have that rooting interest a little bit different. But I kind of have a question, because so as a casual fan, or casual Rams fan, I saw the success that they had last season, and then this season they just seemed like they just weren't ever able to reach that gear that they were reaching last season. And I don't have the football eyes, so I really do want to ask you genuinely, what is the difference that happened between last year and this year to where the Rams weren't able to even get close to the success that they had?
Yeah, it's the million-dollar question, and the question everyone wants to know is, a Super Bowl contender that then misses a Super Bowl team that then misses the playoffs the very next year. And, you know, part of it, I think, is you have a couple, you know, different faces in there, guys that were there last year that weren't there this year. Obviously, the offensive line is the big one that had a huge drop off, finishing, I think, in the top 10 in 2018. And then this past season, finishing in the bottom three. I think they were 30th out of 32 teams, according to PFF. So that's one huge thing, is when your offensive line plays that poorly, it's hard to get anything done. And then two, though, I think they just kind of got in their own way. Sean McVay is one of the bright young minds in the NFL. I'm sure you guys have heard that as fans. It's kind of overstated at this point, his age and what he is as an offensive guru. But he almost outcoached himself. It's a term I use on our podcast a lot, just overcoaching. And, you know, trying to do too much with what you have when you have great skill positions. You have a very comparable quarterback. I know there's a lot of talk. Is he elite? Is he not? That's a different discussion we can get into. But a good quarterback, nonetheless, one that played in the Super Bowl, first overall pick. And you have a very good running back, very good receivers. You have some good tight ends. And he was trying to do too much, trying to, you know, pull all this different stuff out of a hat almost, instead of just using his players how they should be used. And so you saw certain games where the offense looked like the offense of 2018. And you saw certain games where Gurley was running the ball five times. Goff was dropping back 55 times. And that's just not what their DNA is as an offense. So it was kind of an identity crisis, if you will. And that's, I think, was, to me, the number one reason why they struggled so much in 2019 and weren't able to kind of amend the success they had the year prior.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I think that's a relatively common theme for Super Bowl appearance teams to the next year not be able to even get close, right? Isn't it somewhat of a trend where they don't even make the playoffs more often than not?
I think I saw somewhere it's close to like 50-50. When it comes to teams that lost in the Super Bowl, teams that won, I think, make it more. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. But we actually did an article on the website regarding that, and I can't remember if it was the opposite. Teams that win make it less, or teams that lose make it less. But yeah, you're onto something there, where there is some trend and the data supports it, that usually when you're at that pinnacle, the very next year you see a lot of your team leave because you just can't afford it anymore. And so that's kind of what plays into that as well.
Sure. Were you just as excited as I was? I think Miles sitting next to me as well, when the Patriots lost in that first round.
I felt like the Rams or Chargers had made it to the Super Bowl. I was that excited. Anyone outside of Boston was very, very happy and was as diehard of a Titans fan as you could be. And they gained a lot of fans that game, that's for sure.
Sure. One of my really close friends who I grew up with in high school, he's a diehard New England Patriots fan. And I don't know why. Maybe as a kid, he turned on a game and realized they were good and just stuck with them. But he has no Boston roots whatsoever. But do you have any words of consolation for him? Because he was just heartbroken when they lost. The next day I saw him, I was like, on a Monday or something. I was like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I am glad that they lost, but I can see that you're hurting. Like, I think a lot of us sports fans can relate to when our team loses in the playoffs. It's, you're kind of heartbroken for a few days. But are there any, is there any consolation for a New England Patriots fan, or should they just be able to accept losing since they're always winning for the most part?
You know, I don't know your friend, and I don't want to start a relationship off bad, but I would have zero words of consolation.
I would say,
get over it. You've had years and years between the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Bruins have been good. The Celtics have been good. Like, they have no room for any sadness at all. And they still won their division for like the 13th straight year. And cause they play in just the weakest division in football, which maybe will finally be changing, but yeah, zero words of consolation for your friend. I'm sorry.
I love it. Thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah. Let him know. Make sure he listens.
Absolutely. I'm going to snip that and just send it to him.
Very good. Well, while we're on the topic, Miles, I have to ask you, since you said you were a Chargers fan, there's a, you know, I'm going to get more in length in this as the weeks go on my show, but all these rumors swirling about Tom Brady and the Chargers. Do you, what do you think of that?
That's exactly what I was about to ask you. What are your thoughts? For me, I can't, I've just been rooting against him for so long. Personally, it'll be like another kind of, you know, big Kobe fan, Lakers fans. When LeBron came, it took a little bit to get used to. And honestly, like, as much as the Chargers have been kind of not top tier, or they've kind of barely made it a few years, we're not anyone's second choice, you know? And I definitely don't want to be a second choice. We have the skilled players. We have great players on the squad. I say put in a young quarterback, let him develop, give him some time. And we'll hopefully make up for his mistakes with those veterans we're surrounding him.
Yeah, Miles, I'm with you 100%. For one, I think this was just a weird year for the Chargers. I think there's so much talent on both sides of the ball.
Such a big jump from going to this huge NFL playoff team. A lot of people predicted us to go to the Super Bowl this year, dark horse pick, and just fall flat on our faces. It was a hard year.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, there was, other than one game, didn't lose a single game by more than one possession or one score. So, I mean, they were in every single game, you know, costly turnovers of late. But to me, bringing Brady makes no sense. I mean, if you're even considering bringing someone like him, why not just keep Phillip Rivers? Because in realistic, if anyone that watched the games this year, that watched the Chargers and watched the Patriots, Phillip was still the better quarterback. As weird as that is to say, maybe people don't look at it because of the wins and losses, but Rivers had more of the intangibles going for him, whereas Brady looked a lot older. And I know it's probably someone listening will think that's crazy because he's Tom Brady. He's the GOAT. He still went to the playoffs. They still won a division. But to me, that's a step back going from Rivers to him at this point in their careers. So I'm with you. Yeah, start fresh. Let's get a new young face in, or even roll with Tyrod Taylor for a few games. See how that goes. I love Easton Stick personally. He was one of my favorite draft prospects last year. I know he's super young and raw, but you know, sitting at six in the draft too, there's a lot of potential there. But Brady, to me, it would just be taking a step in the wrong direction and just another year of mediocrity going forward.
I definitely agree. So speaking of the sixth pick in the draft, a lot of mock drafts are having the Chargers pick a quarterback. Who do you think the Chargers pick and why?
That's a great question. And it's one that, if I'm being frank and honest, I'm going to get a lot more into the draft here soon, kind of focusing more on these playoffs and on free agency as we look at that. But just off the top of my head, I know, you know, a lot of Charger fans see these big name quarterbacks, you know, Tua, right. Justin Herbert, obviously, right. Joe Burrow, who will not be available at the sixth pick.
No way.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of positional guys that could get there that they would love. But if they really are in need and want of a quarterback and they want to start with one of these young guys, a name that person I kind of like just for the fit, I really do like Justin Herbert. He, going into the year, I really wasn't that big on him. He had kind of bust potential in my opinion, but he kind of grew on me over his senior season at Oregon. I think he'll be playing in the Senior Bowl this weekend as well, so we'll get to see him there. Tua is an interesting one just because he's Tua. I mean, he's how great of a collegiate career he had, but you still have those question marks with the injury. I know lately things have been coming out that he's you know, progressing a lot quicker than expected, and it's looking like he won't even miss any time in mini camp or training camp, which is great news. So those are two guys, if they want the quarterback position, that I would, you know, kind of circle. I know Love out of Utah State's another guy that a lot of people are talking about. I haven't really gotten into the film a ton on him yet, so I don't want to comment too much on him. But yeah, Herbert's a guy that I think could fit in. Big body, mobile, no injury history, started his entire time at University of Oregon. So I think he's a guy to kind of look for. But yeah, you'll have to have me on the show later in this draft process, and maybe I can throw some more names at you from other positions as well.
We'd definitely love to have you back. What are your thoughts on trading that pick away and trading down to pick up? To me, my biggest thing about Chargers is we've never had an offensive line. And so same thing with you, like let Tyrod play or even bring back Phil because he still looks okay, and just actually protect him for once.
Yeah. You know, and that's a total Telesco move too. If they were to trade down, allocate some picks and then take, you know, best available wherever they move down to. And certainly the offensive line is something that also needs to be fixed as well. I think I mentioned earlier that the Rams were rated around 30th, and I think the Chargers were either one above or one below. Both the LA teams were in the bottom three or four of the entire league. So something the Chargers definitely need to do. You know, they obviously always are hit with that injury bug. You know, Forrest Lamp, when they took him a few years ago in the second, was kind of like the steal of the draft for them. That was not talked about a lot, but a guy that was a projected first round potential tackle, but could also play guard, and they got him in the second, but he's a guy that just can't stay on the field. And you got to have, you got to have the bodies in the trenches that can stay healthy, and he's not one of them. So yeah, I think at six, it might be a little early to take a lineman at that spot just of how this draft is. You have a lot of depth, but maybe not a big name guy right there at six. But at the same time, if you fall in love with a guy, why take the chance of missing out on him? So you could take him there. But if they can trade back, you know, 10, 11, 12, and then get another third or second round pick in the process, I would love if they would do that. And Telesco's certainly capable of it. And they could, you know, get that, you know, Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa, who's a big tackle, someone like that in the kind of teens that I think would be a day one starter. And then you could still have Trey Pipkins from last year, who actually showed a lot of promise in the limited time that he got. He could, you know, just still take his time and wouldn't be forced to be a starter come training camp next year. So definitely I would like that move a lot if they were able to pull it off.
Awesome, dude. Ryan, you're a wealth of knowledge, man, with football. I love it. We're definitely going to be picking your brain more often because we could definitely brush up on our football knowledge. All right. So to wrap up our interview, got to talk Super Bowl. 49ers, Chiefs, February 2nd. It looks like we got this week off, and it's the Pro Bowl, correct? This week? That's the big event?
Yeah. It's always that weird now with the Pro Bowl in the middle. But yeah, this Sunday will be the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, it always seems like an eternity to me as a casual fan in between that the final conference game to the Super Bowl. I'm like, man, I wish they played it the next week, but maybe just building up the hype machine. That's the NFL, what they do best. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. But what is your prediction for the Super Bowl? Who's going to come out on top and be the 2020 NFL champ?
Yeah, they definitely know how to build the hype train, the NFL does. But I'll be flying out to Miami here in about a week, so I cannot wait to get down there and start, you know, talking to some of these teams and players. But this is one of the first Super Bowls, guys, that I can remember that I have zero rooting interest for either of these teams. I think it's going to be a phenomenal game. I think it's going to be a really good, entertaining game. But every year there's been, you know, one team, and I think a lot of fans can attest to this, one team that they hate more than the other. So they can, like, okay, like last year, obviously I covered the Rams, so obviously rooting for the Rams. But even the year prior, you have the Eagles and Patriots. Nobody likes the Patriots, so cool, we'll go for the Eagles. This is the one year where, as a Rams, someone that covers the Rams, someone that lives in L.A., you got to hate the Niners. I grew up, but I went to college in Long Beach. All of my roommates were Niners fans, so I grew up, you know, hating on them. And then full disclosure, I'm from Denver, so I'm a diehard Broncos fan. And my actual fanhood, I bleed in orange and blue. So I hate the Chiefs. So it's very, very difficult for me to really watch this game of two teams that I hate. But when it comes to just pure football, it's really going to be an entertaining game. I think from an X's and O's standpoint, as crazy as it sounds, I do kind of like the Niners in this game. Pat Mahomes is going to be one of the best quarterbacks probably of all time, but certainly in the NFL for years to come. And that offense for the Chiefs is just clicking on all cylinders. But what the Niners are able to do in the running game, what they can do in the trenches, and what they can do on the defensive side of the ball, I think gives them a little bit of upper edge, because where the Chiefs struggle on defense is stopping the run. We saw what, you know, Mostert did last night with his, 200 yards and four touchdowns against the Packers defense. And so they'll able to be, I think they'll be able to run all over the Chiefs, you know, keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands, which will be their game plan, obviously, from the get-go. And then on defense side of the ball, when you can rush four guys like the Niners can and drop seven back in coverage, you have a really, really good chance to win. And they'll have a good chance to at least slow down. They won't stop, but at least slow down Mahomes and the Chiefs offense by leaving those seven guys back and not having to blitz anyone. So I think it's going to be a great game, guys. But if I'm picking right now off the top of my head, I think I'm going with the Niners in this one.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning as well. So it's nice to have validation from an expert. I just, from the eye test, watching the Niners decimate the Packers, it was just insane. I felt like the Packers were like a college team playing against an NFL team. They just could not do anything against the Niners whatsoever. So I feel like the Niners are going to win. They just look really, really good.
Yeah. Well, when you look at how to build a championship team, it's based on defense and the running game. And that's what the Niners are. So it's painful to say, but they have a championship pedigree about them.
That's so true. I definitely agree with that. With all the flashy quarterbacks, all the dual threats, all these amazing receivers, at the end of the day, it's defense and possession of the ball. And the best way to have possession of the ball, run it and just run it down their throats. So I'm definitely picking Niners, unfortunately, as well.
Yep. And that's what they'll do. So should be a good one, though, guys.
Nice. All right, Ryan. So before we wrap up here again, thank you so much for coming, spending some time with us on the Three in the Key podcast. If you can, go ahead and throw out some plugs for your podcast. I know you got a website as well. Where can people find you at?
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it. Yes. Anyone can find me on Twitter if they're on there, just at Ryan Dyrud, LAFB. The podcast is the Believe in LA Football podcast. We're on, you know, iTunes, Spotify, all the everywhere you get podcasts. And the website is lafbnetwork.com. Cover all Los Angeles football, and the podcast will be there as well. So yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, no problem. It was a pleasure.
Take it easy.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. So shout out to Ryan, aka The Don, for taking time out of his day to do an interview with us. That was really fun. Definitely look forward to gleaning off of his NFL college football expertise in the many, many months to come. So definitely got to brush up on that area for sure. So to close, MD, let's go ahead and just really quickly look ahead in the upcoming Lakers schedule. They have four games left in this road trip, and it'll all be over on Saturday against the Sixers. But starting today, MLK, big showdown against the Boston Celtics. Then we got the Knicks on Wednesday, the Nets on Thursday, so a little back-to-back action going there. And then, like I mentioned earlier, Saturday, finishing the five-game road trip against the Philadelphia 76ers. So before we get into our predictions, to just update everyone and update ourselves, MD, you are in the lead, my friend, of the Popeye's Chicken Sandwich Sweepstakes, sitting at 7-2 for the month of January. The Orlando Magic loss, obviously neither of us knew, neither of us predicted that to happen, so that hit both of us. But in addition to that, I thought we were going to lose the game to the Rockets, and we ended up winning. Good surprise there. But I took a hit twice as much this week. So you're sitting at 7-2. I'm sitting at 6-3. And with that, what are we predicting here? Four games going into next week. Who you think we're gonna lose to, if any?
4-0.
4-0.
We're gonna go on a tear, and we're gonna show everyone what's up. We easily will handle the Knicks, Nets. Kyrie still thinks he's amazing, but he's not. He's on a minutes restriction. Plus, he's not enough to stop LeBron and AD. So those, to me, should be easy games to win. They're also New York, so that time change shouldn't be bad. Boston, I definitely feel like, because AD's coming back, we're going to kick butt tonight. And even if AD's on a minute restriction or whatever, like, that first unit has shown that they can ball with anyone, with Kuzma in the starting lineup. Biggest worry would be the 76ers.
Is Embiid playing?
I don't know.
No, I think he's out.
But whether he's playing or not, I would still predict 4-0. Because, again, he eats minutes, he eats shots, and he's not Giannis. You know, they don't have that kind of offensive flow. And I love Brett Brown. He brought them to where they are. But Coach Budenholzer is just an amazing coach. He is the Greg Popovich of the East.
Remember what he did with that Atlanta team? That was like Paul Millsap, Kyle Korver, all those guys. And they had the first seed in the East because of they played such good team basketball. That's why, to me, they're succeeding so well in their defense. Sixers aren't known for their defense right now. Everyone's questioning where they are. Philly's a tough city, man. Everyone talks trash so much trash on you. And honestly, sometimes with Josh Richardson being one of their leading scorers, I don't know. Like, has Ben Simmons peaked? He was supposed to take a three. We talked about this every game, and he's not. Joel Embiid, like, we know what he can do. Okay, get him his points. He talks a lot, but that's it. Tobias Harris isn't at full Tobias Harris potential like we saw with the Clippers. I don't know. I don't know where this team's doing. They're lost. They have no identity. And so I feel like we'll be able to pull out the win.
All right. So you're going 4-0. I will say 3-1.
Who do you think we drop?
The Sixers.
Okay.
Is my guess. No way we're losing to Boston. No way we're losing the Knicks. The Nets might be a little tough because it's a back-to-back.
But it's in New York.
It's still the Nets. Like, yeah, they have Kyrie, but I mean, they're just not a great team right now. The Sixers, I have this feeling they could surprise us. I mean, Orlando came out of nowhere last week against us. So, keep the Sixers 3-1. Man, I'm trying to make up some ground too, man. Yeah, I want a free Popeye sandwich. All right, dude.
It's okay. We'll put it on the company card.
Heck yeah, man. Max it out. I think I maxed it out already, actually.
With the mics.
Yeah, the mics. All right, dude. That'll do it for this episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Make sure to subscribe. Follow us on IG at 3inthekeypod. Have a great rest of your MLK day, MLK week. And we will see you guys next week. Big game on Tuesday against the Clippers coming up.
Go Lakers.